and pouring. It's like something is broken in the spirit over this place. Yeah. It started with Sandra's preaching. It did. We had a very good outpouring last summer. If anybody was here for that, remember that? We had lots of people and Holy Spirit was coming and people were laying all over the floor and shaking and whatnot. And God was just like, you know, I want to come to your church. That's what he told me. He said, I want to come to your church. I want to come. And I want to pour out my Holy Spirit in power. And I'm like, this is interesting because for 3 years, I've been saying, God, please come to my church and pour out your Spirit in power. And you know what God's been telling me? It's like, tell the people to love the city. Tell the people to love one another. Tell the people to love me. And he basically said, until we learn to love one another and love our city and love each other, love him, he's like, I can't pour out my holy presence. And I'm like, okay, so you know what that means, church? Congratulations. We're getting it. We're getting there as a church. Maybe we lost a whole bunch of people, but that's okay. Because I really believe that Holy Spirit, in one day of outpouring, he increased his church from 120 to 3,000 people. My old church was 4,500 people, but it had been there for 50 years. And they were building it slowly but surely. The airport church, the church that we belong to, has only been there since 1989. It started off in a house inherited by John Arnott from his mother in a living room. Then it went to a school like this. John Arnott actually tells me it's eerie when he comes in here because it reminds him of when he first started the church. He says, I feel like I'm back at the beginning. That's what he said to me. Then it went to a small church of an auditorium and then a church of 200 people. And then it was 200 people for a little while, but then the Holy Spirit showed up. You know what happened? From 1994 till 1995, they went, the church was full, and there was lineups, so they bought a warehouse. The warehouse was too small, so they had to buy a conference center. And at times, even the conference center, I've been to that church when there were 7,000 people there. You could barely move. And also, the glory of God was crackling across the ceiling. There was glory clouds, and there was like moving in waves, and there was people getting gold teeth and utterances. And when the person preached, when they preached, you didn't have to so much pay attention to what was happening. Do you know why? The anointing was so strong, you would be getting these pictures in your head of the sermon. And the sermon would be like a movie. And people would be just laying on the ground groaning because they were receiving so much downloads and revelation from the Holy Spirit. I was one of them. I was one of them. And it's amazing to me because when I first heard about the airport church, I thought maybe it was a cult. And I was a little bit afraid. And my best friend, Daryl Perry, tried for almost a year to convince me to go, and I just kept coming up with excuses. Excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. And one day, Daryl said to me, he said, Jay, you love the Holy Spirit. You love God. You love praying. I know you do. I know you do. You have to come and check this place out with me. You have to come. Come on. Stop making excuses, he said to me. And I was like, okay. Because my mom told me not to go. My mom told me it was a cult. My mom told me never to speak in tongues because it was of the devil. My mom is a deacon in the Baptist church. the First Baptist Church, which is the most conservative of all the four denominations of Baptist Church. It's okay, though, because now my mom has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My mom speaks in tongues. The first time my mom ever let me speak in tongues over her, she needed a healing. And she couldn't get it anywhere else. She said, Jay, I just need you to pray. I said, well, if I pray, if I speak in tongues, you'll get healed because the Holy Spirit told me last night to speak in tongues over you, and I know you don't believe in that. And she was desperate, and she said, okay. I said, all right. I spoke in tongues, I prayed, and boom, she was healed. After that, she stopped speaking against speaking in tongues. And she started stealing my books on the Holy Spirit because I had quite a few of them. Because this is a subject that I love. Probably my favorite subject because it's about my best friend who is Holy Spirit. I'll never forget when I first got saved, I was losing all my friends and getting kicked out of parties because I was crashing parties by talking about Jesus. And I had two of my best friends come up to me and they said, Jay, we're really sorry, but we can't take you to parties anymore. I said, why? They said, well, you always crash the party. We're talking about Jesus. You can come, but if you talk about Jesus, you can't come anymore. We're not going to drive you. Because at that time, I didn't have my license, and all my friends drove me everywhere. In brand new cars. It was really nice. And so I lost my friends. I said, okay, well, if I can't talk about Jesus, I don't really want to go to the party and take care of drunk people. And you know what Holy Spirit said to me that day? I was really hurt. This guy had been my best friend since I was 12. This girl had been my best friend since I was 14. I was about 18. I said, God said to me, said, you know, you've never had a friend like me. I'm closer than your brother. I'm a better friend than you'll ever have. And I'm going to take you places, and you're going to do things and see things that no party will ever be able to match. And I was on this grand adventure with Holy Spirit. And that adventure took me all kinds of places. Like I remember in 1999, the Lord told me to get rid of my Sony PlayStation. So I got rid of it. I totally got rid of my whole Sony PlayStation. The Lord told me very specifically, get rid of it. My mom thought I was nuts because I'd loved video games and I'd spent a lot of money on this thing. I had stacks of video games. I had the steering wheel. I had the controllers. I had everything you can think of to do with Sony. I got a new game every week. And the Lord was like, get rid of it all. So I gave it away to my friend who broke his leg. And I got rid of my Sony PlayStation. I just started seeking God at night. And it wasn't before long that my brother started driving me to work and I started having this ministry to people in the occult for about 3 years. They were getting saved and deliverances were happening and demons were coming out of them and all this stuff. And my friend, a good friend of mine at work, he's like, don't you miss your Sony PlayStation? And he starts telling me about these games and Quake and how they get to take out all these demons. I said, yeah, you know, I know that it's fun to play it in the game, but you should really try it in real life. Does that make sense? You know, I do not want my Christianity to be something that's just in a book. But I want my Christianity to be a real live experience. And I do not want my life to be something that's on a TV. But I want my life to be a real live living experience. So, I'm doing the introductory to the series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that people will get baptized this week, they'll get baptized next week, they'll get baptized the week after, and I hope they get baptized the week after, 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 and the week after. I hope they don't just get baptized here, but I hope they get baptized in your workplace. One of the best baptisms I ever seen was my friend Travis' party. It was amazing. You know how it happened? He said to me, he said, why are can you see God and hear God and feel God? And I said, because of Jesus Christ. He turned me on. He flipped the switch inside of me, and now I can see and feel Holy Spirit. And he asked me, do you think God can flip that switch inside of me? I said, yeah. You just got to ask him. And so we were in the back of a warehouse cleaning racks, and you don't know what that means, and that's not that important. We're going to stick to the point. But Travis comes up to me, and I can feel Holy Spirit on him. And he looks at me, and he says, whoa, Jay, I did it. I did what? He said, I asked Jesus to flip the switch, and I fell to the floor, and I couldn't get up, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And we just sang songs and worshiped God for like half an hour while working in the back of that warehouse. At first, we couldn't work. We were too busy filled singing songs, but okay, God. No kidding. True story. Got baptized. He got filled. After that, he stopped talking against me and my Bible reading and serving God. And he started defending me. He started reading his Bible. He started, yeah. Power of God. So, let's start at the beginning. Because the beginning is always a good place to start. And God seems to always begin with an announcement. What is an announcement? It's a prophecy. And so in Malachi 2, God prophesies. He announces. Malachi 2, 28. Oh, sorry, Joel 2, 28. Sorry, never mind. Nuts. Joel 2:28, he talks about old men dreaming dreams and young men seeing visions. And he talks about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now you got to understand the context of Joel or Malachi, it's minor prophets, but Joel is in a situation where the kingdom of God is being snatched away. The Babylonians are coming, they're taking away the kingdom of God, and all the hopes of Israel seem to be in ruins. The people are corrupt. He's in a really bad situation. But God, it says, it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Joel 2:28. Your old men will dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. Well, I saw visions, And also on your maidservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Has anybody seen wonders in the heavens? Put up your hand if you've seen wonders in the heavens. Has God ever given you a vision? Did you know that that's a wonder in the heavens? Did you know that before anything is invented, somebody saw it in here first? You believe that? Somebody actually has to see a vision of something inside their mind or their heart before it can actually become a chair. And usually what they do is they actually draw that chair. Does that make sense? They draw the chair. And when the chair is drawn, you know, that's a proclamation. That's a prophecy. From the heart of God. Because the Bible says that God lets the sun shine on the just and the unjust. But anyways. And then when they actually make that chair, it's actually come down from heaven to earth through a man. God does that with natural things, but he also can do it with supernatural things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural thing. And not just a natural thing. As much blessing as these chairs are to you right now as you sit on them. So much more. Because a chair will give you rest and relaxation, maybe a little bit of peace, and help you put up your feet. And it supports you and holds you up. Right? Let me explain something to you. After today, you're going to figure out that the Holy Spirit holds you up and supports you, gives you rest. It does. He does. He does. And gives you peace. Much more than a chair. And this prophecy is about the announcement. And he saw, Joel saw the vision. And he announced it and he wrote it down on the paper. But it hadn't come to pass yet. And he's one of the first ones to see it in the Bible. Hey! You know, it says that after this, in Joel chapter 3, and I'm not going to talk about it long, it says, in those days I will bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I will gather all the nations and bring them down into the valley and enter. And I will have judgment. Now, we're not going to get into that. But it talks about, I will raise up out of that place. I will raise you up. And it talks about how God is actually going to raise people up from ashes to beauty. He's going to bring them back to their land. He's going to fight for them. He's going to empower them, his people. How is he going to do that? He's going to fulfill the promises that the people have let go of and lost. It's through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, I went to Baptist church. I was raised in a Baptist church for the most part. When my mom wasn't backsliding. And they believe in the Holy Spirit, but they don't believe in the baptism. Because they say, what does the baptism have to do with the Great Commission? And after today, I'm going to show you that it has everything to do with the Great Commission. Everything. Everything, 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 everything. You see, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's no hope for us. Just like in Joel's day. There's no hope. You can't pray without the baptism. Well, you can, but they're not as powerful. You can't witness without the baptism. Fulfilling the Great Commission without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's look. It's really tough. Because it says that you're going to be God's witnesses on the earth. You're going to walk on serpents and snakes, and we'll turn to the verse later. You're going to do signs and wonders. Yeah, that's all part of the Great Commission too, by the way. Casting out demons is part of the Great Commission. It's not just winning people, but it actually says that these things... Now, a bad leader tells his followers to do things that they cannot do. Right? Does anybody know that? Right? That they can't accomplish. Jesus, over and over again, was telling people to do stuff that they felt like they couldn't accomplish. If you have two coats, give them. If you have a coat and the other person needs it, give it to them. Go the extra mile. Love your enemy. You know, Jesus, over and over and over again, was telling us that we need to learn to do the impossible. And you know why? Because you see, I really believe that Jesus was creating a hunger within the people, not for the natural, but for the supernatural. And so as Jesus was going around telling people, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood and all kinds of crazy things that sounded really crazy. You know, love your enemy. Be kind to those who hate you. I struggle with that one sometimes. You know, go that extra mile for that person. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, give generously, even though you don't really have anything. Don't just give a little bit, but give all you have. I really believe that when Jesus was doing that, he was setting the stage inside of our hearts that we would hunger for something more than what we have. That we would hunger for power to do the greater thing. And Jesus was all about the greater thing. He was. You know, he said, "You've heard it say, do not murder, do not steal, but I tell you this much." You know what he said? "If you even look at your brother with hatred in your heart, you've committed murder." And I'm like, why so harsh, Jesus? You're the Prince of Peace. You're the picture of God on earth, the love of God on earth. You came full of glory and full of grace. Where's the glory and grace in that, God? When I'm reading the Gospels. And God's like, you know what? The glory and grace is that I'm actually causing people to hunger after a power that's greater than inside themselves. That's greater than themselves. Another person who announced the coming of the Holy Spirit, one of my favorite people in the Bible, probably my two favorite people in the Bible, besides Jesus and Holy Spirit, are Elijah and John the Baptist. If anybody been around this church long enough, you'd know that. My two favorite people, for sure, would be Elijah and John the Baptist. John the Baptist saw what was happening when he saw Jesus. See, in John chapter 1, this is what John the Baptist says. He says a lot of things in John, but this is what I think is important pertaining to what we have to say. John chapter 1, verse 29. "The next morning, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him. He said, 'Behold,'" he said this to his disciples, "'it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" "This is whom who I said, the man who comes after me, preferred before me, for he was before me." He was God. "I did not know him, that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with water." Yeah. "I come baptizing with water."
It's okay.
I'm right here, Gloria. "I saw the Spirit bore witness. I saw the Spirit coming, ascending upon him like a dove, but I did not know him. But he sent me to baptize with water, upon whom you see the Spirit." Okay, listen. "I did not know him. He sent me to baptize with water, said to me, 'The one who sent him to baptize with water said to him, upon him you see the Spirit,'" right? "'remaining on him is him who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" What's important there? We have the baptism of water, which is repentance. That's right. In some of the Gospels, he actually says, he comes and he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is a prophecy. This is a picture of the chair being drawn. But it hasn't actually come to it hasn't actually come to pass. That's better. It hasn't come to pass yet. He's just drawing a picture through a man. Much like a man drew a picture of that chair. John's so excited. He actually tells his disciples, go follow him, follow him, follow him. Because his great baptism is greater than a mine. What else does John the Baptist say? You want to see? I want to see. Important one, important one. Let's see. In Mark 1, that's actually the one where he actually says fire. I like that one. Mark 1. Mark 1. 4. John came baptizing and preaching repentance of sins in the land of Judea. And they were from Jerusalem. They went out confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, eating locusts and honey. I love what Lou Engle says about that. It says that he was eating locusts and honey. Right? What does that mean to us? Well, locusts in the Bible is symbolic for Beelzebub, who's supposed to be the devil's right-hand man, the guy who causes all the plagues and all kinds of stuff. And when he's eating the locusts, he's actually destroying the devil and his kingdom. Because the locusts in those days, they caused these plagues. They came and they ate all the crops and they made people starve to death. There's a lot of people starving to death because of locusts in North American society. You know what the locusts are in North American society? They're lust, greed, love of money, entertainment. There's quite a few things that are making people starve spiritually. But John the Baptist was a wild man, burning in the desert. The presence of God, it says he was filled. It's interesting, he was filled but not baptized. Eating locusts, destroying devils, and honey, which is symbolic for revelation. He was destroying devils and getting revelation from God. And the kingdom of God was forcefully advancing because of John, because he was preparing the way for Jesus. But more importantly, or equally as importantly, he was preparing the way for people to receive the baptism. And like I said earlier, in this church, I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the Lord said, no, first get the baptism of repentance, the water. Learn to love God, learn to love each other, and then learn to love the city. Does that make sense? And then Jesus will come and you will receive the baptism of fire. Yeah. And so, John came preaching, clothed in camel's hair, Mark 1, chapter 6, eating locusts and honey with a belt of truth around his waist. And he preached, saying, there is one who comes after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not willing, or I am not worthy to do up, to stoop down and loose. Indeed, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I love John the Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. He says, when the bride is with the groom, his joy is made complete. And I've prayed and prayed and prayed for that same anointing. You know, that to say that when to prepare the way for the fire to hit people's hearts, that they would be baptized with fire, not by me, but by Jesus. By Jesus. And so, Joel had the idea. John drew a picture. Jesus is coming, and he's actually going to assemble the chair. What did Jesus have to say of John the Baptist? Matthew 11:11. Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, we can do that. Matthew 11:11. What does it say? Assuredly, I say to you, of those born of women, there is not one risen greater than John the Baptist. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it forcefully. I'm the violent, folks. If you know me, you'd know I was the violent. I take the kingdom forcefully. I stand before you a violent man. The man who goes into warehouses and gets people saved. A man who does prayer meetings and prays for unity and has been praying for the face of the church to be changed in less than a generation in this city, from being selfish, politically motivated, self-loving, health and wealth mongering people to actually the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, bringing love, peace, salvation, and restoration to everybody who wants it. And I preached a lot about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I really believe that it forcefully advances it, the kingdom of God, because of the Great Commission. Now, John the Baptist in Matthew 3, he wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The man who Jesus said was the greatest of all the prophets. They call him the picture of obedience, perfect obedience. John the Baptist was a picture of obedience. He was the greatest of all prophets. He was in the desert eating locusts and honey, destroying devils and getting revelation. He actually was the one who prepared the way for Jesus to begin his ministry, which saved the whole world and rocked the whole world for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. Brought down the Roman Empire and caused Queen Victoria to lose sleep at night when she said, I fear nothing on this earth except for the prayers of that John Knox, who is a great evangelist and a fellow follower of Jesus, who also preached the baptism. He says in Matthew 3:3, for this is he who is spoken of the prophet, the one crying in the wilderness. Where is it? Yeah. John himself was in camel's hair, Matthew 3, and he saw many. He He said of Jesus, you know, bear fruits and coming with repentance. Indeed, I baptize with water. Sorry, Matthew 11:3-11. But we baptize with the Holy Spirit. And it says, in Matthew 3:13, Jesus came from Galilee to John to the Jordan, and John tried to prevent him from being baptized, saying, isn't it you who are supposed to be baptizing me? So, guess what John the Baptist wanted from Jesus? The man who I've been talking about, forcefully advancing the kingdom of God, the violent man in the desert, burning, destroying Beelzebub and getting revelation from God. What did he want the most from Christ? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's my job to do the first part of the series, the breaking of the ground, to prepare people's hearts to want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit's here helping me. John the Baptist wanted it. The guy that I admire so much actually wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did Jesus want to give the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes. You know how I know? One of my favorite scripture verses. In the whole Bible. And I really believe that in this moment, this was a moment where Jesus was like, I know I have to say everything that the Father told me to say, but this is what's really on my heart. You ever get those moments? It was one of those moments where Jesus wasn't so much a teacher or a preacher or a discipler, but where he was just a man sharing his heart. You know what he said? It's in Luke 12:49. I've actually put it in several sermons because I love it so much.
12. Luke 12:35-40.
He says, he stretched out his hands toward his disciples, mother and brother. Hey, that's not it. Oh, sorry, guys. It is Luke 12:49. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Anyways, he says, you know, I came to start a fire, and I wish it was already kindled. That's what he says. I came to start a fire, and I wish it was already kindled. That's what Jesus said. What fire did Jesus come to start? And what fire did he wish was already kindled? I'll tell you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the fire that Jesus came to start. A fire within our hearts. A fire of passion, a fire of grace, a fire of glory. A fire of goodness, a fire of love. And in all of Jesus' like preaching, he's just like, I came to start a fire. And I wish it was kindled. Even though he did signs, wonders, miracles, he was crucified. He justified us. He did it so that we could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Does Jesus want us to receive the Holy Spirit? Yes, he certainly does. He wanted it so bad that he was willing to be crucified on a cross that we might be able to receive it. You see, John couldn't receive it because Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. You know? And that's why in John 16, verse 7, Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, are you ready? Nevertheless, I tell you, it is at your advantage that I go. For if I do not go, the Helper will not come. And if I do not come, depart, I will not send him to you. Does that make sense? It is for our advantage that Christ be crucified. For what purpose? Yes, so he could prove his love to mankind by dying on a cross. Yes, so that he could justify us underneath the law, so that we might be able to receive what? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get it? God wants us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit really, 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 really bad. Not just us, but he wants the whole world to be able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit really, 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 really bad, because he knows that if we don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for us to fulfill the Great Commission or his words upon our lives, because we won't have the power. So you don't just have to want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need it. Leonard Ravenhill, the Hebridean revival guy, you know what he's pounding on the pulpit. I heard the tape. And he's saying, don't you understand? You need the Holy Spirit to pray. You need the Holy Spirit to witness. You need the Holy Spirit to do miracles. And without the Holy Spirit, there's no help for us. Without the baptism, actually, is what he said. And you can hear him pounding on the pulpit, trying to get the people to understand. And he's pleading and begging with people to take the baptism. It's a great way to start off the series. Sorry about the Bible verses, guys. Think about it. You know what that means? If you don't feel like witnessing, if you don't feel like going out and winning the world, and you feel like you don't have the strength and you don't have the power and you don't have even the heart, do you know what you need? Take a guess. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. We need it to fulfill the Great Commission. Now we're going to turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16:14-18. So they said, some say John the Baptist is Elijah, but who do you say that I am? Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Wrong verse again. Peter said, you are the rock. Matthew. Oh, Mark. I get so excited that I lose my notes. When I'm writing it down, it sounds all really good. And then I get all excited and I lose it. So please apologize. The Great Commission. He appeared to the 11 and sat at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of hearts. And he said, why do you not believe? For he who is coming after you, he has risen. And he said, go then, preach to all the world, to all the people. He who believes is baptized and will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will drink anything deadly, and they will by no means be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Can you do that without the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Nope. It took me 2 or 3 years to figure that out. I said to God, I said, you know what, God, this is impossible. What you're asking me to do is impossible. And God said to me, he said, it's not impossible if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, what I said to God, I broke down after 3 years of not speaking in tongues because of my mom. I said, God, I will take the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Give it to me. And I heard this little tongue inside my head. Now I got several of them. I got about 3 or 4 different tongues that I can speak anytime I'm praying. And they're all powerful and they do different things. And I'm able to fulfill the Great Commission, even though I'm dyslexic and I can't read that well. I'm up here before all of you, empowered by him, with his anointing and his Holy Spirit because of his baptism. Nothing to do with me so much as it is to do with him. You see, it's to our advantage that we look, go for the Holy Spirit, that we ask for the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot and will not fulfill the Great Commission that is upon our lives. And so, baptism for us as Christians isn't an option. It's a necessity. Is that clear? John the Baptist really wanted it. Many of the prophets really wanted it. The church, some of them want it and some of them don't. Some people, But if you get it, oh, if you get it. How do you get it? How do you get it? Well, there's many ways to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's many ways. There was a bunch of people in the Bible called the 12 disciples. They wanted to do the Great Commission right away. But Jesus says to them in Luke 24:13 and through to 49, we'll say. Oh, sorry. Well, actually, in Luke 24:13, it's called the road to Damascus. I forgot about this. And the disciples have figured out that they can't fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus has been crucified, and their hearts are like broken, and they're walking somewhere else. And Jesus comes to them, and he walks with them, and he says, you know, Jesus had to suffer and die in order for you to be able to receive the Holy Spirit. And at the end, he actually asked people to go back to Jerusalem and wait. 120 people go back to Jerusalem and they wait. I'm running out of time, guys. Sorry. They go back to Jerusalem and they wait and they pray because Jesus told them to. Jesus actually says in Acts chapter 1, being assembled together with them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, which you heard from me. For truly John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore they laid together and asked him, saying, Lord, at this time will you restore the kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. And what happens is in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and they receive tongues of fire. And it says that when they're being filled with the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak in these tongues and utterances. And the Gentiles hear them speaking in their own language. And they reap a harvest of Parthians, Medes, Elams, Mesopotamians, and people from Asia and all around the world, Egypt, Libya. 3,000 people are evangelized in one day. And if you keep on reading, in Acts chapter 2, verse 25, Peter says, this is the thing which Joel spoke about. And he quotes it directly. Acts chapter 2, 17. It shall come to pass in the last days of God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams of my maidservants. And I will pour out my Spirit upon all the earth, which is, of course, where we started. And that's when the chair actually comes into formation. And you and I are able to sit down on it, allow it to hold us up, rest our feet, be comfortable, and empowered. Sit on the floor if you want. I like the chair. I like Holy Spirit. I like the baptism. Joseph's going to talk more next week about how to receive the baptism in different ways, laying on of hands and different things. But right now, I want you to ask the Lord to make you hungry for the baptism and to show you just how badly you need it. Because you need a lot more than what you think. Ask the Lord. You know, the disciples, they tarried for like 2 months. I think it's 2 months. They tarried. They stayed in a little room and they just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Jesus, they broke through and Jesus appeared to them and he said, I am about to give you the baptism. You know what? We've been praying and praying and praying for 4 years, and Jesus has come and he said, you know what? I'm about to give you the baptism. Wait and tarry and pray. And there will be power coming from on high. And we'll reap a harvest. And the kingdom of heaven will forcefully advance. And we'll all become violent. But in order for that to happen, we must receive. We must receive. Because it is to our advantage. It is to our advantage. No, I wish when I memorized both of the Bible, I had to memorize scripture and chapter verses. I'm going to start working on that now. But I want you to know the heart of the message is that Jesus came to die so that we might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he wanted us to be empowered to do his will. To get the victory, to see visions, to trample on serpents and snakes, to drink poison and not be harmed, to do healings and miracles and signs and wonders. He actually promised that we would do greater works than he did. I have the scripture written down here, but for time's sake, I'm not going to read it. He not only promised it, but he looked forward to that day so much that I believe that Jesus sighed and said, "Oh." He raised his hand and said, "I came to start a fire, and I wish it was already kindled." And today, just raise your hand. Just say, "God, me too. Me too. Kindle that fire within me." Kindle that fire within me, within my heart. God, I want to walk on serpents. I want to see signs and wonders and visions and miracles. I want to receive words of knowledge. I want to speak in other tongues, because it's part of the Great Commission. You said that you wanted me to speak in other tongues, Lord. God, you wanted to show me my weakness that I might cry out to you to be filled with power from on high. And I accept your sacrifice and I say, Lord, fill me with that power. If not today, tomorrow, and if not tomorrow, the next day, I will tarry and I will commit myself.
I think it'd be good at this moment in time just to stand, and an ideal opportunity just to worship. So I think it'd be good, as we started this morning, is to end with the band and enter into a place of worship.
Yeah, I just want to share with you just a little something. I mean, the love of God is just so thick in this place today. It is so thick in this place today. And you know what, it's not just for us up here or leadership or anything like that. I just want to break that off right now. It's not for the other people, it's for you. It's for you, it's for you. And if you've had trouble receiving that this morning, just offer that to God and say, Lord, I'm having trouble receiving that. And he's going to help you through that as well. And this song that we're going to sing right now, it's been on God's heart for a couple of weeks, actually. And, you know, there wasn't a chance to play it last week. And then we just happened to pick it again this week. And you know what? Stuff like that happens because there's an anticipation what God is going to do through the song, through the music, through our sacrifice of praise to him. And I know, you know, we've got lunches, we've got, you know, stuff to go to this afternoon, but let's just take another moment to give him a little sacrifice of praise. Just an extra couple minutes to sacrifice our time and say, God, you are more important than anything right now. I need you to show up. If you need him to show up right now, if you need to feel him right now, do you believe that he's in this room? Do you believe that he's in this room right now? Put up your hand. If you believe, put that your hand up in faith that he is in this room, he is with us, he is in us, he's around us. So God, I just ask that you would come and you would touch every person in the way that they need you. Holy Spirit, come and fall right now, because each and every one of us needs you right now. We are anticipating, ha, what you're going to do. We're anticipating your fire right now. We're anticipating your promises, Lord. Your promises are true. Your goodness, your love is going to fall. It's falling. It's falling. Ha, mercy, fall. Rain down. Ha. Ha. Yeah.
And everyone needs compassion. Love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains, my God. is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Savior,
Savior. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Thank you, God, that you are a God of compassion, love, fire, goodness. Lord, I ask that you would keep coming to each and every person this week. Keep showing up in all the quiet places and all the noisy, loud places too. When we need you most, Lord. When we just, you know, are struggling in places at work and people kind of push our buttons, Father, we just ask that you would show up in your glory, your mercy, your love, and your kindness. Your goodness, your self-control, and all your mercy. We need you, Lord.
If you feel like Travis Party, you'd like God to flip a switch inside of you. Oh, there's the anointing, okay. Would you like God to flip a switch inside of you? Would you like God to activate his love and his mercy and his joy? Would you like power not to be beat down by your circumstances, but to beat down those who are making your circumstances bad and change them with love and peace? Would you like to forcefully advance the kingdom of God today? Would you like to not only receive God's love, but would you like to give it away? I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, and that you're witnessing to this word in power, and more 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 anointing. And it's not by might nor power, but it's by your Holy Spirit. We will overcome. By the power of the Spirit and the word of our testimony. This is how I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Lord told me just to start praising him. Praise the Lord. Glory. Glory. Praise you. I love you, Lord. Just start praising God right now. Praise you, Lord. Start praising God, thanking God.
We thank you, God.
Praise you, Lord.
We thank you, God.
I thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. And even as I was just praising God, I started to hear words. I started to hear a little voice inside my head. I started speaking those words. The Bible says that he inherits and inhabits the praises of his people. When you surround yourself with praises, you are actually surrounding yourself with the presence of God.